The Triumph of Understanding Over Bravado. On the research team, we frequently found ourselves talking about the difference between pre-hedgehog and post-hedgehog states. In the pre-hedgehog state, it's like groping through the fog. You're making progress on a long march, but you can't see all that well. At each juncture in the trail, you can only see a little bit ahead and must move at a deliberate, slow crawl. Then, with the hedgehog concept, you break into a clearing, the fog lifts, and you can see for miles. From then on, each juncture requires less deliberation, and you can shift from crawl to walk, and from walk to run. In the post-hedgehog state, miles of trail move swiftly beneath your feet, forks in the road fly past as you quickly make decisions that you could not have seen so clearly in the fog. What's so striking about the comparison companies is that, for all their change programs, frantic gesticulations, and charismatic leaders, they rarely emerged from the fog. They would try to run, making bad decisions at forks in the road, and then have to reverse course later. Or they would veer off the trail entirely, banging into trees and tumbling down ravines. Oh, but they were sure doing it with speed and panache. For the comparison companies, the exact same world that had become so simple and clear to the good to great companies remained complex and shrouded in mist. Why? For two reasons. First, the comparison companies never asked the right questions, the questions prompted by the three circles. Second, they set their goals and strategies more from bravado than from understanding. Nowhere is this more evident than in the comparison companies' mindless pursuit of growth. Over two-thirds of the comparison companies displayed an obsession with growth without the benefit of a hedgehog concept. Statements such as, "We've been a growth-at-any-price company," and "Betting that size equals success," pepper the materials on the comparison companies. In contrast, not one of the good-to-great companies focused obsessively on growth. Yet they created sustained, profitable growth far greater than the comparison companies that made growth their mantra. Consider the case of Great Western and Fannie Mae. "Great Western is a mite unwieldy," wrote the Wall Street Transcript. "It wants to grow every way it can." The company found itself in finance, leasing, insurance, and manufactured houses, continually acquiring companies in an expansion binge. Bigger, more. In 1985, Great Western's CEO told a gathering of analysts, "Don't worry about what you call us, a bank, an S&L, or a zebra." Quite a contrast to Fannie Mae, which had a simple, crystalline understanding that it could be the best capital markets player in anything related to mortgages, better even than Goldman Sachs or Salomon Brothers in opening up the full capital markets to the mortgage process. It built a powerful economic machine by reframing its business model on risk management rather than mortgage selling. And it drove the machine with great passion, the Fannie Mae people inspired by its vital role in democratizing home ownership.